Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. We are glad to have you along on our Wednesday night study. This is a study through the Gospel of Matthew, and we are in the midst of trying to wrap up here in the next couple weeks the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we're going to be talking about the narrow and the wide gate. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And while you do, I'll go over a couple of things to look forward to. So we have heard from our governor and about the church's reopening. So just a quick programming note, we've poured through that document. We have a leadership meeting set up to see what it's gonna be like to meet the requirements. Looks like we'll be able to do that. Then we have to do the same with Foursquare and make sure that we submit a form getting permission to reopen on a Sunday. I know that there is a lot of anticipation to open soon, and we want to do that, but the last thing we want to do is open the church and not be ready. There is significant work to be done in terms of cleaning before and after service and training the staff and making sure that we have all the personal equipment to make sure that we meet the standards. So we're kind of moving through that. However, we will be starting home fellowships, and there may be a change to whether we're going to do that on home fellowships on a Sunday or a Wednesday. It looks like as of today, we will start home fellowships on the first Wednesday in June and keep those Wednesday evenings all the way through. I've told you before that the home fellowships have to be the lifeblood of our church, especially if we anticipate that there may be another closure. We will already be in place to continue fellowship, and I know that home fellowships have been selected, people have been called. I know there's others that are working on communication, so soon you'll know which home fellowship you will be in, and then we will talk about what we will do on Sunday. Looks like we should be opening up church sometime in June, more towards the end of the month, and when we have our Sunday service. We may have two Sunday services to accommodate the social distancing and the requirements from the government. So we will get back to you as soon as possible. We're trying to email everybody and then call people who don't normally use email as a form of communication to make sure that you're on the same page. So without further ado, let's talk about the narrow and the wide gate. Again, our study is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And I just want to talk a little bit about this salvation that God offers us. There's a scripture in the Bible, where it's at right now, it doesn't really matter. But in the translation of the Message, it talks about setting up a salvation plan on the other side of the street. And I think that when we consider salvation, God offers salvation to anybody who accepts it. That's obvious. In John, chapter 1, verse 12, and in Romans 10, verse 9, and in 1 John 2, 2. But it's on God's terms. It's never on our terms. And it must come the way that He has provided. And we just can't, create in our mind our own path to salvation based on our own efforts. And compared to His righteousness, the Bible says that we're all filthy, we've all missed the mark, we're in big trouble. But God can't simply excuse or overlook our sin. He's merciful, but He's also just. And so in that just aspect of God's personality, He requires that sin be paid for. And we know that through His Son Jesus, the only sacrifice, our sin was paid for. Well, the problem with that is that for some people, that's just too much to get their brain around. It's just too easy, it's too simple, that something as great as salvation must require a greater sacrifice, must require something of our own effort, and it's got to be hard, it's got to be difficult. And I truly believe that God has made it easy. And I think that for the most part, as long as we understand what the requirements are from us, the salvation and the narrow road are things that are attainable. So without further ado, let's go into our text. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Father, add blessing to your word this evening as we study. I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to see what the Lord is doing in the church and what the Lord is saying to the church by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So going deeper, let's talk about the narrow gate. It's also called, the narrow door, and it's referred to by our Lord in Matthew chapter 7, where we are right now, verse 13, and in Luke 13, 23 and 24. And Jesus compares this narrow gate to the broad road. There's this comparison in this particular portion of Scripture, which the broad gate obviously leads to destruction. That's hell. And many people are going to find this road. By contrast, Jesus says in himself that, you know, it's small is this gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So what exactly does he mean by this? Just how many are the many, and how few are the few, right? So when we think of terms of, at the beginning of, the story of God, how Lucifer was an angel and he decided that he wanted to be like God. And so we have this fallen angel in Lucifer who took one third of the angels with him. And there's always been throughout history this idea that that's what the ratio is going to be. The actual few are going to be, two thirds of the population that are going to make it to heaven, and one third, like the demons, are on their way to hell. There is nowhere in Scripture that supports that. I think it's an old wives' tale. I think it's wishful thinking. I think Jesus meant what he said, that, there's going to be this broad road, this big freeway with everybody on it, probably stuck in traffic, on their way to hell. And there's going to be this tiny little road that's going to go to heaven. And when I think about that, I'm becoming an avid motorcycle rider. I'm not, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm good. It just means I like doing it. And I find myself wanting to do it more, especially through this lockdown. And I think it's something that I'm going to add to my life for a good long time. But one of the things I love about, motorcycle riding is especially the riding that I do. I don't race and things like that, but we go out to our desert out here, and there's trails all over. And so I'm just going to give you a quick analogy. So I was riding this last weekend, and Liam Bryant, who is a kid in our youth group, was riding, and he and I were on a trail, and we have communication through walkie-talkies in our helmets. And so he said to me, he says, "Greg, there's this hill coming up, and it doesn't look too good. I'm going to take it," because he's on a motorcycle and I'm on a quad, which is four wheels. And he said, "Why don't you go around and I'll meet you on the other side." So I got a little challenged. I'm like, well, I think I can make that hill. And so three quarters of the way up the hill, I'm on this narrow road, right? And with four wheels, I have to follow this narrow road all the way up. Well, it came to the point to where there was a big rock on the left and a big rock on the right, and a not so big rock in the middle. And I said, well, I got to take the middle. It's the only path that I can take. And when I did, the bottom of my quad hit, and it sort of lifted my bike up, and I was teetering on the side of this mountain. And I got a really quick understanding of what it was like to be on the narrow road. And somehow or another, I was able to, flip my quad around and go back down the hill and go around the mountain. But that's what this road is, the narrow road. It's a rocky road. It's a hill that sometimes is very difficult to climb, and it's meant for really one person at a time. And then there's this other, area that we ride out in the desert, and there's these big, huge, like almost streets that are just, of dirt where everybody rides, and they're just flying through there. And that's just the general population. And so hopefully you get my analogy. Understand another thing here, and this is the second point of just going deeper, is that Jesus is the door. That's the key, right? He's the door through which all must enter into eternal life. There is no other way, because he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John chapter 14:6. So the way to eternal life is restricted to just one avenue. And again, guys, I think that that's where people really struggle. Whenever you tell mankind that there's only one way to do something, you know, it, just like me looking at that mountain, the right thing to do would have been to go around it. But, you know, no, I can do that, and I get myself in trouble. In this sense, the way is, you know, it's narrow because it's the only way. And so relatively few people find it or go through it because it's the narrow gate. Now, it's not necessarily meaning that it's thin, right? It's narrow, again, because it's the only way. If there were other ways, you know, it would be, you'd have choices. But you don't have choices when it comes to salvation. There's only one choice. Are you going to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? Many more, they're going to attempt to find alternate routes to God. There's no question. They already do. We see it all over in our society. You know, people are offended when you say, yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he is the gate. You have to go through him to get to heaven. No, they don't want to do that. Darn it, my good works are good enough. If I work hard enough at salvation, then I should have it because I've earned it. Well, it's just not biblical. You can't earn your salvation. You can't win your salvation. Your salvation was won for you, and the only way that you can receive it is to die to yourself and receive the sacrifice that Jesus made. You know, they're going to try. People are going to try to get through these man-made sort of rules and efforts and regulations and false religion to get to God. And we've seen that over the years. And some, you know, good attempts at religion have ended in just man trying to get to God in his own effort. And that just doesn't work. These are the many. Those are the people that are on the broad road that leads to eternal destruction. And the Bible says the sheep hear his voice, they hear the good shepherd, and they follow him along the narrow way to eternal life. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 11. Now, let me just go back and cover for a second. Everybody on the wide road is not like they're Satan worshipers. It's not like they're, you know, terrible people. There's people on that wide road that have been duped, that have been fooled, that their good behavior is going to get them into heaven. And I want to make sure that we understand that, because you could easily sit here and say, well, you know, Pastor Greg, I do all these things, and so therefore, you know, I must be on the narrow gate. Well, if you think that you're going to be accepted by God by what you do, then you are mistaken. You're going to be accepted by God by what you believe in, the faith that you have placed in him as your personal Lord and Savior. So let's talk a little bit about the few. While there will be relatively few people that are going to go through the narrow gate compared to the many who are going to go through the broad road, there's still going to be a multitude who will follow the good shepherd, right? And that's the key that we want to look at. I'm interested in the narrow gate. I'm interested in the few. I'm not interested in the wide, and I'm not interested in destruction. So the Apostle John saw this multitude in his vision in the book of Revelation. And he says, after I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. And that is what John saw as far as the few, right? So we want to keep that in perspective. It's not going to be a little group. It's not going to be, you know, 140,000 or some number like that. It's going to be a multitude that is innumerable, right? So you have the few. You have the fact that Jesus is the gate. You have the wide road. And now we're going to talk about the striving. And I want to make sure that we have a good understanding of what the striving is, right? The striving on the narrow road. So entering the narrow gate is not easy, right? Jesus made it clear when he instructed his followers to strive to do so. The Greek word here, translated strive, is agonizomai, which is where we get our English word agonize, right? And the implication here is that those who seek to enter the narrow gate must do so by struggle and strain. And that is true. You know, it's like a running athlete. You know, and that's what Paul equated this whole thing to, is that we're running this race, and it's a long distance endurance race. It's not a sprint. And you're gonna inquire all kinds of different terrain in the Salvation Run that you're on. And the idea here is that you're gonna finish. It's not necessarily you're gonna get there the fastest. It's that you're gonna finish, and few are gonna do that. But if you look at a long distance runner, you know, all those muscles are working together, and they're giving that runner the ability to do that. And that's what striving is. So I want to make sure that we give some clarity here. There is no amount of effort that saves us. And I know what you're thinking. Greg, you just said we got to strive. Yes, you have to strive. Salvation is by grace. It's by the grace of God through faith, the gift of faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. But no one will ever earn heaven by striving for it. But entering the narrow gate is still difficult, because we got to fight our human pride. We got to fight our natural love to sin. We have to fight the opposition of Satan, who is at every turn trying to trip us up. We have to fight the world and the control of the world and all the battles that are against us in the pursuit of eternity, all the traps that are set for us by the enemy. That's the striving, right? The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he would love nothing more than to kick you off of the narrow gate and get your eyes on the broad road. Even if you're trying to get to him by works on the broad road, you're fine, because he knows that you're done. You're going to go to hell, because you've decided that salvation comes by your goodness and not by God's grace. So the last thing I want to talk about here is this outlook that we are to have, right? The exhortation to strive and to enter is a command to repent and enter the gate, and not just to enter it, right? Not just to enter the gate, but not just to stand and look at it, not to think about it, not to complain that it's too small, not to complain that it's too difficult or unjustly narrow. We are to ask, we are not to ask why others are not entering the gate. We're not to make excuses for our delay. We are not to be concerned with the number of people who will enter. We are to strive forward and enter into that gate. Then, you know, at that point, we can strive and exhort others to enter before it's too late. My point is, guys, that God says, you know, I want you to enter the gate. Enter into it. That entering is a process. That process is the striving. And, you know, the complaints are going to be many. There's sometimes that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've wanted to call it in a lot of times, especially recently, this last year and a half of, you know, losing my son. I just looked at God and said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I went through the whole, this isn't fair, and, you know, everybody else gets to keep their son, and why do I suffer, and look at all I've sacrificed for you, and just some terrible, disgusting thoughts, just being very personal, that I had, and I had to struggle with those demons. I still do, and it is a striving, but our outlook has to be focused on that trail. It's one of the things I love when I ride, is that my mind can't focus on anything but, you know, 10, 15 yards in front of me. When you're flying 40 miles an hour down the desert, that's, my brain can only handle that. I don't worry about church. I don't worry about my family. I don't worry about anything. I worry about what's coming around the corner or who's coming. And it just takes my brain off of everything, right? I think that's how we need to be when it comes to our salvation. That's that focus that we need to have, right? That like an animal after its prey, we need to be completely focused, shut everything off around us, and just focus. This is the road that I'm on. So application this evening. The first key here, guys, that if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The first key is to enter wisely. Enter wisely. What does that mean? Well, we need to hold fast to the confession of our faith, right? We need to hold fast. This is not an easy ride, right? You look at Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked physically. He was left for dead 3 times. He was, you know, there was trouble at every corner. And he said, you know, we are hard pressed on every side. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus suffered through and strived through the whole process of dying on the cross for us, right? So we need to be aware of man's ways to salvation. And every time that we come up with, or every time we think that we have a motivation that we're trying to get to God based on our own salvation, and based on our own works, based on our goodness, we're in trouble. It is all about God's mercy. And our mindset should be that we enter wisely. And if we enter wisely, then we enter by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We don't enter in by our works, right? So the second key here is to be aware of your surroundings. What road are you really on? Is it populated? Is everybody going the same direction that you're going? Are you just one of the people and on this big, huge road? If you do, you're in trouble. Romans chapter 12, 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will." And there should be a difference between us and them. There should be a difference between the Christian and the worldly person. It should be seen. So the second key, be aware of your surroundings. If you look like the world, if you act like the world, if you blend in with the world, then I ask you, are you truly saved? If that's a life that you're giving to God, if you just look like everybody else and think like everybody else, that's not conforming to his pattern. It's conforming to the pattern of this world. That's the striving. That's why it's so difficult, right? And then the third key here is to strive vigorously. The third key again, strive vigorously. Don't strive to be saved, right? Strive to finish the race. Timothy said, or Paul wrote to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That's the goal here, guys, is to finish. Fulfill the commandment in that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these are the signs that will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink a deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." Those are the things that accompany a believer, right? And that's what Jesus said that we will do. And so I want to encourage you this evening, church, to take a good hard look where you stop on that road and look down. Are you on the narrow road? And if you are, there's not going to be a lot of people on it. You're going to be alone a lot of the time. That's why church and fellowship are so important. Are you on a road that's populated with a bunch of people, and do you look like everybody else? And is that road easy, and is it broad? Do you have, you know, wiggle room there? Because you don't have any wiggle room when you're on the narrow road trying to get to the narrow gate. Because it's serious business about our salvation, and there are times in our walk when we need to stop and contemplate and consider. Right? This is one of those times. And I pray that tonight you would have clarity. I pray that you would be able to see. I pray that you would be able to discern and understand. And if adjustments need to be made, and if a trail needs to be made from the broad road back to the narrow road, then you make that transition. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray blessing upon those who receive this word tonight, Father. I pray that you would plant it deep within their soul and water it, and that it would produce fruit. I ask, God, that you would bless them. For those listening online, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, the Bible says you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And that's all you have to do. And if you've made that decision tonight and you've prayed that prayer, pick up the phone and give us a call. Our number is on the website. And share with us the decision that you made so that we may rejoice with you. Remember, church, he has shown you, man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now in Jesus' name. Amen.